which is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Macy's just going to come and read it to us again, just so we can have it fresh in our mind. Thank you.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of our children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the work of your hand. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all the swim, the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Thank you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Creator, Father, Mother, Friend, Saviour, all of these words that we ascribe to you, Lord, that never could describe how big you really are. We just submit ourselves afresh to you this morning and pray that you'd speak to us through your powerful word and encourage us and give us hope. Amen. So, over the past few weeks, unless you've been locked away in a time capsule, you'll have noticed that the whole of our country, really, and the whole world has been celebrating and doing what the psalmist is doing here in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. The 50th anniversary of the moon landing, that massive one small step for mankind, that's something that was celebrated thousands of years ago in the Psalms, which is brilliant. And the more that we look at the vastness of creation around us and the tiny, tiny pinprick that is our Earth in all the galaxies that are around us, the more we are overwhelmed by the wonder of God's fingers at work in our lives and on this planet. Now, last weekend, myself and Paul and another friend called Jay were at a music festival at Jodrell Bank in Cheshire. And I'm not sure if any of you have been to Jodrell Bank before. I hadn't. And it's basically an observatory and the home of a massive telescope called the Lovell Telescope. And at the festival, because of this, there were loads of talks about science, about space. I didn't go to many of them because I'm not really a space geek, and also because I was lazy. At one point, as we wandered around the festival, we were stopped by a university student who wanted to tell us all about this brand new space telescope, which has been developed, costing billions of pounds, by countries across the world, universities working on it all across our country, called the Joseph Webb Space Telescope. And the Joseph Webb Space Telescope is basically the successor to the Hubble Space Telescope, which some of you will have heard about. And it's going to be launched into space, I think costing £10 billion in 2021, to beam back brand new images of space and the world and the galaxies and the universe around us. And at some point, as we were talking to him, he started to show us images from the Hubble Telescope to show us the sort of things that the Joseph Webb Telescope is going to be capturing. And I just wanted to show you a couple of the images that they showed us. This is the first one. Now, this is an image of two galaxies that are colliding 75 million light years away, which is quite far away. And as these galaxies smash together, literally billions of stars are born, and the brightest form into what are known as superstar clusters. You have to forgive me, I'm a history graduate, I've not got a clue what I'm talking about. So there's this amazing collision of galaxies, which is millions of light years away, where billions of stars are formed. That's an image from space, which is really, really beautiful. And then there's this other image. I don't know if any of you have seen this before. Have any of you seen this image before from space or know what it is? Yeah, what is it, Mark?
It's the pillars of creation.
It's the pillars of creation, thank you. I had no idea what it was before the weekend. And now this is only 7,000 light years from us, so you better watch out. And this is the pillars of creation. It's called the pillars of creation because basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's because there's interstellar gas and dust which are in the process of creating new stars. What's even more amazing is the reason why it's called the Pillars of Creation. It actually comes from a sermon by a famous Baptist preacher that some of you will have heard of called Charles Spurgeon, who in 1857, when he was talking about the birth of Jesus, he talked about the infinite becoming the infant and how that infinite infant bears up the pillars of creation. So we've got this amazing image from space of something that was named the birth of Jesus, which I think is amazing. So as we look at these images and consider the beauty and the vastness of our known universe, of the universe around us, we can't help with saying, with joining the psalmist in saying in verse 4, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them, human beings that you care for us. Why would the creator of this massive, amazing, beautiful, mind-boggling universe care for us so much as human beings on this one tiny planet? And why would he go a step further than that, care for us so much that he chose to write himself into our story as a tiny baby and become a human being himself? For me, it's just totally mind-blowing, and I don't understand it. And I think the psalmist is on a similar page. And so we then come to verse 5, where we hear that not only did God elevate and make human beings, but he made them to be a little lower, as it says here, than the angels, than the heavenly beings, and crowned us with glory and honour. And this was fulfilled again when God became Jesus. This happened after the psalmist, something that maybe only he could predict. When God became a human being in Jesus, with the massive value and investment in humanity that that implies. And God doesn't just elevate us as Christians, those of us who recognise him. God elevates all people, according to this psalm. Every human being has got inherent dignity as an elevated child of God. So that's a level playing field for all of us, whether people know it or not. And that should affect the way that we interact with everyone and the way that we respond to everyone around us, because we're all elevated just a little lower than the angels. We've all got massive inherent dignity and worth. And that's especially true for those people who are different to us and for those who are maybe weaker or more vulnerable than we are. And then we come to the final part of this psalm, which is maybe the climax of this amazing song of praise, verses 6 and 7. You made them, that's human beings, rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild. God didn't just elevate human beings by making them a little lower than the angels just for the sake of it. He elevated us for the purpose, and that purpose was to take care of all of his creation, as it says here, of the flocks, of the herds, of the animals, of the birds, of the fish, of everything that we see around us in the natural world. It says in the message interpretation of this passage, it says, you put us in charge of your handcrafted world. You repeated to us your Genesis charge. And this takes us right back to the start of the Bible in Genesis, where God makes everything and says it is good, says it is very good. And then he asks Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to rule over all of creation. And that charge continues to all of humanity through history. Now, the sad news that we know as we look at the world around us is that the ruling over all creation that we've been given responsibility for has not gone well. The ruling has sort of backfired. We only have to look around us to see that creation and nature has been exploited, whether that's in the rainforests or wherever, in the seas that are full of plastic. It's been exploited rather than nourished. Creation has been broken rather than nurtured. Now, many of you will know this character. This is Spider-Man, for those of you who don't know. And there's a famous quote that Spider-Man's uncle, I think it is, says to him. He says, with great power comes great responsibility. And that God has given us great power. We've been made a little lower than the angels, but he's also given us great responsibility. He's delegated his power to us. God has limited himself into our hands to care for this planet. And the amazing thing is that this beautiful world that's around us is still the primary way that God speaks to humanity. Years and years and years before most people could read, God would speak to people through humanity, through the seasons, through the world around them. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that that's the way that God's primarily still speaks to humanity, through the beauty of his creation. Which means that caring for God's creation cannot be separated from our call to share the gospel with the world in crisis. That's a quote from the Lausanne movement, which is sort of like the World Council on Mission, which Billy Graham and others were a real central part of. God's caring for God's creation is not separate from sharing the gospel. It's one and the same thing. And so it's interesting that just as in verse 2 that we read earlier, and as Rebecca highlighted earlier, that through the praise of children and infants that God has ordained praise, that through children, the lips of children and infants that God has ordained praise. It's young people today, it's children today that God is still speaking through. It's children today that God is still speaking through to give us a wake-up call. I used this slide the last time I spoke a few weeks ago, so sorry if you were here for that as well. This is Greta Thunberg, who many of you will have seen in the news. She's 15. She's from Sweden. This is a young girl with Asperger's. And she's been calling upon, and she's called upon millions and millions of people to strike, to try and change the climate disaster that's approaching. And there's literally millions, tens of millions of people across the world that have been doing this. And it's interesting that children and young people are often the ones who are tuned in to God's call and God's care for the world, because they've not got the same agendas, the same issues, the same hang-ups that we have as adults. And they can challenge us, and they can make us feel uncomfortable. And the challenge to us is to listen to them and not to ignore them, but to take seriously what they say, because God speaks through children. So, as God's people made a little lower than the angels, amazed by his wonderful creation, with a divinely ordained responsibility to care for the world around us, what practical things can we do this summer to reflect God's glory? And this is what I want you to take away really today. So here's a few things that we can do. Romans chapter 12, famous verse in the Bible again, which talks about the renewal of our minds. This is the Message version. It says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And the NIV version says, this is your spiritual act of worship. So the things that we do in our everyday lives are our spiritual act of worship, are our offerings that we give to God. And here's some suggestions that we can do. So some things that you might want to think about doing if you don't. And many of you will already do these, so I'm just preaching to the converted. But I don't, so I'm preaching to myself. So plant something. Plant something outside, maybe vegetables or herbs or anything. Or indoors, get yourself a plant, because plants inside produce oxygen, which improves the air quality of our homes. This one's for me. Take a shorter shower. Our family is like split down the middle. We've got half of them who take 1 minute to have a shower, and the other half who take about half an hour, and I won't tell you which side I'm in. So if you have a 5 minute, if you cut 5 minutes off your shower, you will be saving 50 litres of water. That is quite a lot, and I'm going to try and do that. Turn off and unplug your gadgets. Unplug your phones when they're not charging. Turn off your television, your Xbox, your PC, whatever, when they're not being used. I know that's hard because you always have got to have your internet on, but there's ways that we can switch things off when we're not using them to charge things, etc., so we can save electricity. Something that most people have already done, get a usable water bottle or coffee cup. There is absolutely no need to buy bottled water anymore, because the water we have in this country we're blessed with is absolutely fine. Recycling is not as good as reusing. It's better to reuse than to recycle. I'm going to get off my soapbox in a bit, I promise. Reuse your plastic takeaway containers. Put your lunches in them for work, or do what I did, which made me feel like an absolute idiot, and go back to your local Chinese takeaway with the containers that you've got and ask them to refill them. Now, after they'd stopped looking at me like I was mentally unstable, they did do that, and now I've done that a few times going back, and they started talking to me about it, and they don't think I'm that mad after all, although they still do look a bit strange when they walk in. Go outside, take your kids outside. Kids, go outside and pick up litter. Litter in your road, in your local park. Obviously, be careful what you're picking up, that it's not sharp and it's not going to rip your hands apart. But pick litter up, go out, make the area where you look more beautiful to reflect God's glory more. Get outside. Not today, but when it's sunny again. Walk, run, play, just lie down somewhere. It doesn't have to be an exertion. Just take time to enjoy God's creation on our doorsteps. If you can, then maybe try walking or cycling to work for a change, if it's possible. Or get the bus or train and actually talk to human beings. That's something else we can do as well. Nearly there now. Have a go at buying secondhand clothes or swapping clothes. Many of you will know that the fast fashion industry has a massive human, in terms of modern slavery, and environmental cost in terms of the production of lots and lots of cheap clothing. We don't need to buy new clothes all the time. It's easy for me to say as a man, I know. But buy secondhand clothes or swap them with your friends. Just don't tell them that you're taking their clothes. And then finally, share your ideas with each other. Some of you will be on social media. Don't become preachy, but do share some simple things that you do. And if you want some more ideas, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's loads of bigger things that we can do, but I thought I'd start off with some simple things. There's a Christian website called www.creationjustice.org. Have a look there. There's another 50 or so suggestions. So what we're going to do just to finish is, bear with me. Do you remember when you were a kid and you used to, I was just saying this to Rebecca and Lisa earlier, and you used to come home from school with your spellings on cards like these, in like your little tin that was from tobacco. Yeah, that was so bad, wasn't it? Used to, all your spellings, you smell of cigarettes. Different world. Anyway, shows how old I am. Five suggestions, all on pieces of card, which are laid out at the front here. And basically, they're pledges that I'd like us to consider taking, children, young people, parents, families. The first one, I will plant something or buy an indoor plant. The second one, I will take shorter showers in August. That's for me. The third one, I won't buy any new clothes in August. The fourth one, I will switch off or unplug my gadgets. And the fifth one, I will pick up litter near my house in August. So all of those five cards are out in the front on these two tables. What I'd like to do, just as we sing our next song, which I think maybe as we come towards the end of the service, is just to join the worship, because this is part of our worship. Just come and grab one of these cards or two. There's enough for everyone. Come up with your kids or with your parents. Just grab one, take them away, put them in your pocket, put them somewhere you're not going to lose them, and just maybe have a go at doing these over the next few weeks. Thank you.